It's confusing as Yom Kippur when it comes to the Nusach HaTfilah. For example, let's go through the whole number of examples that make it different. Number one, in Yom Kippur, we don't say all of the kedusha, the Chazor Sashat, is always the same kedusha that we ordinarily say by Musaf. At Shachris, you don't say the kedusha of Anak Dishcha. You say the kedusha Shacharis of what the same thing you ordinarily say by Musaf. Either if you daven Tzvah, you say Keser, and if you daven Nusach Ashkenaz, so in Shacharis you say the same kedusha that you would ordinarily say by Musaf. You say Kevoidoim, how does it start? It starts Nagdishcha, Kesoyitziach Tzarkush. Instead of starting with Nikadesh Shemcha, you start with Nakdishcha v'Naritzcha, and you say Baruch Kevod Hashem v'Mekoymoi, Ayei Mekoym Kevod, Kevod Gemoli Olam, Yifin Berachma v'Yochin Am Hamiyachedim Shemoi Erev v'Rekim Chol Yom Tamid Pamay Miyavah Shmaimer. So that requires an explanation. Why on Yom Kippur is the Nusach always going to be the Nusach? Is the Nusach of Yom Kippur the Nusach of Musaf? Number two, we say Avinu Malkeinu. Okay, that's unique. Number three, when we say Shema, and we say Baruch Shem Kor Malchus Olam Moed out loud. Okay, what else? Obviously we say Vidui. We don't say Aleinu. We don't say Aleinu. There's no like formal ending to the davening, not for Shacharis. It's very bizarre. You come to the end of Musaf, you stop in the middle. And then the next thing is Mincha, which begins with Ashrei. Alright, so there are a lot of different, okay, another difference is we have on Yom Kippur six Aliyos instead of having seven or having five. Alright. Okay, there are now those are just a few examples. Those are just a few of the many examples that the Nusach Hello? You hear me?
But you shut up for a second.
I went back, what, for a second? Okay, the internet went out for a second? Okay, sorry about that. I don't know, I didn't touch anything here. I don't know what happened. I have no idea what happened. Okay, but basically, the idea over here is that the Nusach the Tzil of Yom Kippur is a real shake-up. Basically breaks every rule from the entire year. There are six Aliyos. We say the
again?
You hear me?
Yeah. Are you out again? You keep on bouncing in and out.
Let's see. What's the problem here?
But anyway, Babi Yar is on the 29th and the 30th of September.
You hear me now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens. If I go out again, I'll switch to my phone. If I go out again.
Babi Yar was on the 29th and the 30th. And it was 2 days before Yom Kippur.
Terrible tragedy. Unreal what they did there.
Yeah, chesed tes.
Unbelievable. All right, so going back, let's discuss one thing at a time. Question. Why is it that the Musaf of Yom Kippur, the Kedusha of Yom Kippur, is always the same Kedusha that we ordinarily say by Musaf? The Kedusha that we recite Shachris, Musaf, Mincha, and Ne'ilah, four times on Yom Kippur we recite the Nusach, what we would ordinarily recite by Musaf. And on a regular, every other time of the year, when you daven Shachris, and you daven Mincha, and there is no Ne'ilah, the Kedusha is much simpler. Well, even if it's not simpler, it's Mekoy Mecha, Malkeinu, Sophia, the Okay, so we all, and Mincha, you say the very simple, straightforward Nosuch in the Kadesh, Shemcha, Ba'ilam, Kushem, Shemakish, Masuch, Beshmein, Barayim, Kakosulia, Nviyach, Vekoda, Zel, Zev, Yomar. Yet, on Yom Kippur, the Nosuch of Kedusha for all four tefillos of the day is the Nosuch of Kedusha that we say on Shabbos at Musaf. Why is that so? So the answer is, there is something about the Nusach of Shacharis that is very disturbing for Yom Kippur. Because in the Nusach of Shacharis, on Shabbos, we say we begin with the word Mimikoymecha, from your Mokoym, from your location. This is, I think, a very powerful idea. It relates to many different things in the whole year. Let's now take a step back. Take a step back. Pesach, the Haggadah. How does the Haggadah, what is one of the main parts of the Haggadah? Baruch HaMokoyim Baruch Hu. By Beis Ovel, we say, HaMokoyim Yinachem Eschem Besorch Shavili Tzion. Very often, we define Hashem with the term Mokoyim. We're able to identify Kaviyachol, where is Hashem? Hashem created us, and Hashem did not create us to make life difficult. Our emunah is Hashem created us in a way where it's easy to connect to Him. And part of being easy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He limits Himself, Sha'amar Le'olam Odai, to space and time in our minds where we're able to connect. Baruch HaMokoyim, Baruch Hu. Pesach, Yitzias Mitzrayim. It says at Kriyas Yamsuf that a Shivcha Shebayam, they pointed. They were able to point, Ze Keli Ve'anveyu. This is my God. Ve'anveyu. They were able to identify. They were able to be mitzamtzein in their abilities. HaKadosh Baruch. And therefore in Pesach, Baruch HaMokoyim, location, location, location. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you're able to define something in space and time, it's very satisfying. A Beis Ovel, it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. And a Beis Ovel, you would think that at a Beis Ovel, the most inappropriate word is the word HaMokoyim. Because at a time of Hester Panim, when a person dies, it's a traumatic experience, and it's very, very hard to connect, to believe. It's an incredible challenge to a person. Like, how does this happen? What has happened to the neshama? What has happened to this person? He's gone. Where is he? It's very, very challenging. Yet, Chazal said, no, don't be overwhelmed. Even in this matzav of trauma, of the loss of a person, you still have the ability to connect to Hashem in a defined way. You're still able to hold on to Hashem and call Hashem HaMokoyim. Baruch HaMokoyim Yinachem Eschem. You tell the Ovel, yeah, you're now traumatized. Despite the trauma, you can deal with it. You can deal with the situation, and you can look at Hashem, and you can say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can define Hashem as Mokim. Again, when you define Hashem with the term Mokim, you in essence are saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be, you can connect to Hashem. Shabbos, Musaf, is a sublime moment. It's a very holy moment. And the moment is so holy, we say, Ayem Mikoyim Kevodai. Where is Hashem? We thought that we were able to make that connection with Hashem. And in the morning we start Shachar, you say, Mimikoimcha Malkeinu. You start off by your Mokoyim. From your Mokoyim, Mimikoimcha, Memkoimcha, let me get a sitter, because I'm getting a little mixed up with the nusach. Okay, in the sitter, Shachris, Shabbos, I'm going to the Nusach HaTfilah of Shachris and Shabbos. We say, Min Mekoimcha, from your Mokoim. Kedusha of Shabbos, Nikadesh, let us sanctify Yashimcha, his name, Ba'olam, in this world, Kashem, Shemakdish, Masa, B'Shemei, Barom, the same way they sanctify Hashem's name in the next world. One angel says to the other, Kadosh, 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 Hashem, Tzavakos, Meloi, Cholaretz, Kado. Oz then, Bekoil, Rash, Kado. In a very loud and tumultuous voice, Adir, V'chazok, Mashmiim, Kol, they give forth a sound, Misnasim, Lumasvev, and Lumosam, they recite Baruch Yomeru. They recite Baruch, Baruch Kivod Hashem, Mi Mi Koimoi, blessed is Hashem from His location. That statement means we know where Hashem is. When the Malachim say Mi Mi Koimoi, from His Mokim, which means there's a definition, and they go on to say Mi Mi Koimecha, from your location, Malkeinu, our King, Toifia, we ask of you to reveal yourself. V'simlochalein, that's quite a statement. You are basically saying, we know who you are. Now, what do you mean we know who you are? No human being can say that they know where Hashem is. But that's not what it means. It means is when you call HaKadosh Baruch Hu by the title Mokoim, you are stating that you have this under control. In my mind, I'm able to wrap my head around the existence of Hashem and understand how He functions, understand the rules of the game, and relate to Him. When you understand how Hashem operates, you can relate to Him. So the term we use is mokim, because there is nothing in this world that is more defined than location. A location, you can go to the location, you can sit down, you can pick up the earth, you can measure. The term Mokoim represents a concept of definition, definement. And when we talk about a Kadosh Baruch Hu with the term Mokoim, we're not just saying, oh, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, there's many interpretations of what this means. Many will tell you it means that Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Mokoim Shel Olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. He is the ultimate Mokoim. Okay, that's the basic interpretation. But a homiletic interpretation, I don't even know if it's homiletic, I think maybe it's even more basic interpretation, is that when you refer to Hashem with the term Mokoim, you are in essence stating that I got this under control. Although HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite, Hashem is truly infinite, but I'm able to wrap my head around Hashem's existence, I'm able to understand the rules of engagement and relate to Him on my terms. Rabbi Lez, is my voice going out? Is the internet okay?
Yes.
It's okay now? Okay. I'm able to relate to Kadosh Baruch Hu on my terms. So this is what we do on, this is what we do on in Shacharis. And this is what we do the whole year, even in the Beis Avel. And certainly at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, because there Chazal said HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mitzamsim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He limited Himself to the mind of every single individual, even a Shivcha, Shemayam was able to say, Ze Keli V'Anveyu. They were able to point, they were able to connect. When it comes Shabbos Musaf, we go to a higher stratosphere. And in this stratosphere, we're uplifted spiritually. And as the Rambam says, Tachlis hayidia sheneda sheloineda. The ultimate purpose of knowledge, the ultimate goal of knowledge, is to know that you know nothing, that you don't know. the more a person thinks he knows, the more the person you start off, you think you know something, and then as you delve into it, you begin to realize, you know, I don't know nothing. So you study more, and the more you study, the more you begin to realize how deep, how infinite knowledge is. The goal of knowledge is to know that you do not know. But when you're a child, when you're on a lower level, every person to a degree on a lower level, they imagine that they've mastered a discipline of knowledge, some discipline of science. You understand biology, I understand the biology of man, I understand chemistry, I understand mathematics. You fool yourself. I've studied, I know everything there is to know, there's nothing I need to do more, and now I can go on vacation, I can go fishing, because I know everything. But then, as you challenge in life, you begin to realize, you know, I thought I understood that, and the truth is, I don't. It's time to go back and study more. And the more you study, the more you open up new vistas of knowledge, and everything just points to the same conclusion. In the world of spirituality, it is exactly the same thing. A person who is on a very low level thinks, he fools himself in thinking that he understands God. I understand. I'm here in this world. God is there. God, he controls this world. And I get it. I get it. I can deal with it. Because I understand Hashem. One second, why we're not over here. I can deal with it. But as the person grows spiritually, he comes to a realization, you know something? I don't really know Hashem. There's a lot about Hashem that I don't understand. And Hashem no longer, is it appropriate for me to call Hashem by the name Mokoim, which in essence is a when you refer to Hashem with the term Mokom, you are stating, I got it. On Shabbos, once a week, the sanctity of Shabbos forces us to be uplifted spiritually, where we can no longer say about Hashem, we can no longer call Hashem Mokoy. And that is why on the Musaf of Shabbos, now I'm turning to the Musaf of Shabbos, this is a new thing, I never understood, never knew this, I never appreciated this until today, preparing for the shiur today. Sometimes I prepare, and I'm preparing for the shiur today, this is just a mind-boggling concept, totally mind-boggling, where when you come to the Kedusha of Shabbos, you say, Kivoidoi Mole Olam, Hashem's Kavod is all over the world. Mishorsov Shoyalam Zelze Aye Mikoim Kivoidoi. Where is it? It's not defined. Where is the Mokoim? Aye Mikoim. This is the difference between Shachris and Musaf. Shachris Mole Gaiva. Mimikoimicha Malkeinu Sophia. The first word that comes out of our mouths in the Kedusha of Shabbos is from your Mokoim, Hashem, from your Mokoim, we make a request that you should reveal yourself. Enough hide and seek. Reveal yourself. And how do we refer to Hashem? Mimikoimicha, from your Mokoim. For us to say those words, it is a given that we know where you are. We know where you are. Look, we say Pesach, we said Baruch HaMokim Baruch Hu. In the Beis Avel, we say HaMokim Yinachim Eschem. And it says the word HaMokim many, many places. Look, and even in Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, it says in the beginning of the laning, El Hamokoim Asher Omar Loihu Elokim. Hashem says to Avraham, Kachno aspinchos yichidchos shahaftas yitzchok velechlich alerts hamaria vahalil shom liula al achad hirim hashomar lecha. Vayash came avram avoyker vayachavish eschamoy vaykach ashnein ravito vayes yitzchok bino vayvakatze oila vayakom vayelech el hamokoim asher omar lohu elokim. To the mokoim. Hashem, you want me to do it? I'll do it. Avraham Avinu was able to acknowledge the mokoim. Hashem is not trying to trick us. He's giving, Hashem is mitzamtzem himself to allow man to comprehend. But Shabbos, Musaf, this is the key difference. Ayei mikoim kivoidoi. Mishorsov Sha'alim Ze lo ze aye mikoim kivoidoi. You know the answer? We don't know. They don't know. They say, Baruch Hu Hashem mimikoimoi hu yifin berachamim. His mokoim, from his mokoim, mimikoimoi. Let's not go down that exact meaning over there. But we don't need to focus on basically the Mefarshim say means mimikoimoi. I don't know. Wherever that mokoim is, one thing we do know, he has rachmonis upon Klal Yisrael. But the key words are ayei mikoim kivoidoi. Shachris, we don't say that. Because Shachris, we fool ourselves in saying, Mimikoy Mecha, Malkeinu, Sophia, Oleinu. We know where you are. This is the key difference between Shachris and Musaf. The whole week, we know where Hashem is. Shabbos, we're uplifted. When we're uplifted, we come to the realization that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a lot greater than what we thought. We were foolish to think that we really understand Hashem. When? Only when it comes to Musaf. Yom Kippur is Shabbos Shabbosoin. Yom HaKippurim is Shabbos on steroids. It's an intensity of Kiddusha Shabbos. Therefore, all four times when we recite Kiddusha, we recite the Kiddusha is Mishorsov Shoyalim Zeloze Ayei Mikoim Kivoidoi. On Yom HaKippurim, it is such an uplifting experience where we feel the awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and our imagination, we come out of the world of hallucinating, thinking that we know where Hashem is, and we confess, in essence, Ayei Mikoim Kivoidoi, four times, not just one time. Okay, I saw this idea in the sefer that I have from Rav Gershon Eisenberger. I think it's a very beautiful idea to explain the perush, the Nusach HaTfilah, on Yom HaKippurim. We do a lot of strange things, and this is one of the strange things that we do. We do this, we say Kiddusha four times, the Nusach of Musaf. What's it all about? So again, to appreciate what we're doing, we have to first understand what we do on Shabbos, on a regular Shabbos and Yom Tov. Where in the morning we say Mimikoy Mecha, and Musaf we say Ayei Mikoyim Kivoidoi. What's the difference? Because Shachris, we fool ourselves in thinking that we can define HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can wrap our heads around Hashem. When we are uplifted, as the day progresses, we come to the acknowledgement, Tachlis Hadiya Sheneda Sheloi Neda. We've just been fooling ourselves. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a lot greater than we ever could imagine, and we can no longer say Mokoim, Ayei Mikoim Kivoidoi. Yom HaKippurim, we're one notch above. Even Shachris, we say Ayei Mikoim Kivoidoi. Okay? So this is one idea. I find this idea. Okay, that's the one idea. Fine. Now let's discuss another idea. Now this is not so much. This is not so much a nusach, but it's an idea I came across that I found to be very interesting. I always wondered about this. The reason why I wondered about this, I'll tell you a little background. You know, I used to daven Chaim Berlin for many, many years. And Chaim Berlin, they had a minig there, where they don't give out psicha. They don't give it out. Psicha was done the entire Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur by one or two people. Every single psicha. It was done by a person, it was a very chashuv person. It was not viewed as a kibbutz. In a regular shul, a good gabbai, he probably stays up very many late nights burning the midnight oil to figure out how to insult everyone by giving them the wrong psicha. Right? This guy, you give me this, you should give me psicha for Aleinu, you should give me for Ne'ilah. No, a good gabbai knows how to get everyone, give them the wrong kibbutz. Okay, I'm just joking. But obviously, I know the shuls where I daven, it's a very big avoda. A gabbai, has to really hustle, he has to really think hard. Who should he give this psicha to this psicha? How not to insult this one, not that one? What did he do last year? What has changed since last year? V'chulu, v'chulu. Okay, it was a bit, I remember the young Israel, by Ne'ilah, they had a custom that the person who was going to be honored at the next shul dinner, he was given psicha for Ne'ilah. So in other words, they already decided who they're going to honor, the powers to be who they're going to honor, and the person who's going to be honored that year at the shul dinner in the winter, oh, guess what? Guess who the guest of honor is this year? The guest of honor was always the person who they gave psicha for Ne'ilah. Okay, Chaim Berlin was very interesting because I grew up as a child in Young Israel, and I understood right away. Chap the gatzach, you give it's covered. This guy gets this. This guy gets this. The whole show of opening up the Aron a million times during davening. It's all about covered. All right, very nice. I then got a little bit older. I went to yeshiva and I started davening in Yom Yom Chaim Berlin, and I noticed very strange. The same guy opens up the Aron every single time. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Ne'ilah, Kol Nidre, the same guy. This is not fair. So what is the answer? The answer was, this is a yeshiva. This is not a place we dish out kavod. You want kavod? You go to a shul. We're here to daven. If we could have a robot open up the aron, we would give it to a robot. If we could have a string from in the basement, someone pulling a string in the basement, we would do it that way. No, we need someone to do it. So you gave it. They gave it. There was a person, and this person had a chazaka, and he did it. There was only two people. One person. They switched off because it gets tiring. So they switched off. There was no cover. So I'm just giving you some background on why this to me is a very meaningful thing that I just came across is now in Chaim Berlin, two things happened. Number one, they split the minyan because of COVID, because it's too crowded. So they took 500 people and they sent them down to the basement. And they have a new minyan, they have a beautiful, they made a Spanish down there, they made a minyan, very nice. So you need a whole new crew. You need a new Baltila, you need a new Baltakea. It was a big thing, all these new people. One of the new things that they did was they gave out psicha. The gabbai decided, we're not going to do it the old-fashioned way. We're going to give one person every single psicha. Here, in this minyan, we're going to give out kibbutzim. We're going to give out. There's this person, that person, or some chosh of the people, balabatim, talmidei chachamim, and that's what he did. I don't know if he did this on his own, or someone I'm very close with. He's the gabbai in the downstairs minyan. He gave it out. I got to go really ask him. What? Then something else happened. Upstairs in the main minyan, the two people who did psicha, one of them moved away, and the other one, Baruch Hashem, is much older now, and it's too hard for him. He can't walk so well. He can't go up and down the steps 100 times. So, shockingly, instead of designating a new person, lifetime contract, they said, you know what? Let's give out psicha. Let's give it out. Let's dish it out. To every psicha someone else gets. Very interesting. To me, it's a shock. I'm totally shocked about it. I mamish can't believe this because it's not the way they do things there. But that's what they do. That's what they're doing now. New generation. Nayadar. Vayaka melechadosh. What's takin pshat? What's Taka the Pshat that in Klal Yisrael there is a minhag to give out psicha to different people for every single thing? And the answer really is goes back to Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, the minhag is we blow shofar from where? The bima. Very interesting. It is the only thing that we do from the bima, at least in the classic shul. Davening, where do we daven from? The omot. What does the rabbi speak from? Usually the rabbi speaks from in front of the Aron HaKodesh. All these shuvas of how you want to put your back to the Aron HaKodesh. Davening is done traditionally in the front of the shul. That's the way it is. The bima is done for one thing only, to Kriyas HaTorah. Kabbalah Shabbos, that's a new thing, that's a modern thing. Kabbalah Shabbos is a new invention, that's not part of Chazal. There's no Mamori Chazal anywhere. That's a thing that's mamish very recent, it's not more than 400 years old. And originally Kabbalah Shabbos was done out in the street, was not done in shul. And then when they brought it into shul, for whatever the reason, in order to show that it's bedafka, not part of davening. It's not part of davening, it's not mamish. Therefore, they makbid don't do Kabbalah Shabbos from the Omud. Kabbalah Shabbos should be done by the Bima. To show that Kabbalah Shabbos is not a chelik of the davening. It's something which is, you know, it's a nice thing to do. It has its own, it's a more modern development in our liturgy, in our way we conduct ourselves in shul. Okay, fine. So b'derech klal, in Chazal, there is no makor, you don't do anything from the bima. Wait, there's one exception. And by the way, if you find the shul today where they daven from the bima, that's not a raya. They're doing it only because of the acoustics, they have problems with the acoustics, the women can't hear, or the men can't hear, but that's not the traditional place to daven. No such thing. There's no such thing as davening from the bima. There are many shuls where they daven from the bima because they don't have a choice. Iyafshe be'inyan acher. But that's not the traditional thing to do. The traditional thing to do is to daven from the amud. But there is one exception. And that is tekia shofar. Tekia shofar is done from the bima. Why? Where did that come from? L'chayra, Tekiah Shofar should be done from the front. From the front. And the answer is, from the Aron HaKodesh, the answer is because we want to combine the Zuchos of Torah. We want to, the Koil Shofar, HaKoil Koil Yaakov. The Hayodayim Yideyes, HaKoil Koil Yaakov. The double Lashon. One is the Kol Torah and the Kol Tefillah. The Kol Torah is from where? The Bima. The Kol Torah is not in front of the Aron HaKodesh. In front of the Aron HaKodesh, just put the Sefer Torah there and they sit there. They sit there. They don't do anything. But when you take the Sefer Torah out and you read from it, you produce the Kol Torah. Memela, we want on Rosh Hashanah to be mitstaref. The Koil Shofar with the Mokoim of the Kol Torah. The Kol Shofar represents, it's a cry. The Kol Shofar represents the Kol Tefillah. We want to integrate it with the Kol of Torah. Now that idea extends to the entire day. The reason why we give our psicha to so many people is every single person should be able to connect to the Torah in a meaningful way on the Yomim Noirahim as a Zuchus. Now there are people who are very rich who get Aliyahs. Okay, you can buy an Aliyah. You buy an Aliyah, that's the best. You buy an Aliyah. So you buy an Aliyah, you're called up to the Torah and you're participating, you're mamish being mishtate from the Torah. What better can you possibly want? Not everyone is zoicha to get an aliyah. So some people get hagba, not bad, galila, hagoiloi, noitel schar, can I get kula? Some people get psicha to take out the Sefer Torah. So how many more kibbutim are there? You can get the aliyahs, you can get hagba, galila, you can Be the Valkyria, that's not bad, right? Be the Valkyria is also pretty good. You can take out the Sefer Torah, Psicha, but what about everyone else in Shul? What happens to them? How do they connect in a meaningful way, more than ordinary? Psicha. Psicha. A person gets Psicha. It's very important that some people don't want to, leave me alone, I don't want to take it. Leave me alone. It's not good. A person should take Psicha, because when a person takes Psicha, you are connecting to the Torah. You're going up, you're opening the Oren, you're making that connection. Just like when you blow Shofar. When you blow Shofar, the Shofar is blown in the Mokum of where this Kriyas HaTorah. When a person goes up to the Oren, opens up the Paroiches, he is connecting to the Torah. And there is no greater Zuchus, no greater Sanegar on the Yom HaDin than connecting to the Torah HaKadosh. Okay, so that's a very important yesod in the tefillah, the uniqueness that we have multiple psichos, and the minhag yesod is to distribute it to as many people as you possibly can, to every person of a chelik in the Torah. Okay? One last thing. Okay, this is the new thing to me. It's an interesting concept. We know that on Yom Kippur there are two seirim. There is the soir la Hashem, and there is the soir la Azazel. There are two twin animals. One animal, the kohen makes a goyrel. One animal goes la Hashem, and the other animal goes la Azazel. That's what he can do. Now, the animal that goes la Hashem, basically he slaughters it. He collects its blood, and he sprinkles its blood in the Kodesh HaKadosh, Lufnai V'Lufnim, and on the Paroiches, and on the Mizbeach, like a carbon. It's Mamash HaKarbon. And the other animal, that's la Zozel, they take out on a long trip, and they throw it off a cliff. Now, it's clear as day. You learn the Gemara Masech, the Yoyma, you learn all the sugyas. The purpose of the Sor LaHashem, what exactly did the Sor LaHashem atone for? Which Averis? So the answer is a very limited Avera. The only thing that it atoned for, the blood that went in Lefnai V'Lefnim, it atoned for what's called Tumas Mikdosh V'Kodoshav. In the event that a Kohen was Tomei and was unaware, he didn't even know, and he entered the Beis HaMikdash, and he did Avodah, that's a terrible Avera. He was in a state of contamination, and he did Avodah. Terrible Avera. He didn't know, it's not his fault. Oh, the Soir LaHashem atones for that. Or let's say, the Korban was Tomei, and the Kohen was Tahar, and the Kohen who's Tahar ate Kachim that was Tomei, unbeknownst to him. Oh, the Soir LaHashem is Mechaper. What is the Soir LaZozel Mechaper? What does it atone for? For every single Avera in the book. For all of the Taryag Mitzvahs, any possible thing a person could have done wrong this year, that is the Soir LaZozel. So the question is, why then, Bizman Az, in our day and age, there is no such thing today as Tumas Mikdash V'Kodosha. There is no Beis HaMikdash, there is no Avoda. The sin of a Kohen doing Avoda in a state of impurity doesn't apply, doesn't exist. The Hechatimsa of a Kohen eating a Korban that's Tomei doesn't exist today. It's totally irrelevant. If you want to learn that the mitzvah is, if you want to just take the carbon on its face value. But every other Avera, Avodah Zarah, Gilei Arayah, Shlich HaSdamim, Abzrayu, Shlich HaSdamim, insulting somebody, embarrassing someone, speaking Lashon Hara, eating non-kosher food, talking during davening, speaking Lashon Hara, v'chulu, those are very, very relevant. Those are extremely relevant. The question is, today, in our day and age, what's the most important thing to focus on? The Soir LaAzazel. Why then is there so little attention given to the Sar LaZazel in the Nusach? Back to the Nusach of our Tefillin Yom Kippur, relative to the elaboration, the enormous elaboration. V'yakoy hanim, the whole Avodah, what is the whole Avodah all about? Every single step of the Soyer LaHashem is totally irrelevant today. And then at the very, very end, in little teeny letters, which most people don't even realize what they're saying, oh, by the way, they took the Sar LaZazel and they threw it off a cliff. Excuse me, we should go and we should be singing the whole song, Yakoy Hanim, when we discuss the Sar LaZazel. And yet, what are we doing? We're discussing it regarding the Sar LaHashem. What's going on? So this is a very interesting answer. And this answer really opens a much broader concept. Afilu bizman shebeis hamikdash hayekayem. Let's make believe it was a beis hamikdash. For most people in Klal Yisrael, it's also not relevant. It's not only a kasha today. Let's go back to the time bizman shebeis hamikdash hayekayem. Shevet Levi, the kohanim who were d'avoid in the beis hamikdash, is a very small portion of the Jewish population. The vast majority don't do Avodah. It's not relevant for them. However, here's the condition. The atonement of the Sar LaZazel is only as good as the atonement of the Sar LaHashem. Let's say make believe. Let's say for argument's sake, they messed up big time. And they did not bring the Soir LaHashem. It was not done correctly. But they took the Sar LaZazel and they threw it off the cliff. Question: does Klal Yisrael get atonement for all of their averos? And the answer is no. The atonement of the Sar LaZazel that carries upon it every avera in the world of Klal Yisrael is fully dependent on the atonement of the Kohanim and the base in the Beis Hamikdash for them eating kachin while they are Tameh, or the other way around, they are Tahar and the food that they ate is Tameh. It is dependent. And of course, not only is it dependent on being done, there are different levels. You know, you can do it with Grois Kavanas, with good Kavanas, or you can do it on a lower level. It is fully dependent zeh al zeh. That's a very powerful lesson. That our success today in our mundane activities and our sheifas is dependent on the Kohanim. The Kohanim is manazeh. Who are the Kohanim is manazeh? The Klei Kodesh. Rabbeim. No, the people, the Rabbanim, Rabbeim. It all depends on the amount that they receive atonement. That's how much we receive atonement, and therefore that's why the focus is so important. We have to focus the chunk of the tefillah focuses on something which may for us be irrelevant. But we have to appreciate their success of the limited number of people who are serving Hashem with sanctity, b'kedusha v'tahara. Their success directly affects our success in achieving atonement for our own issues. Okay, Rabbi Sulam, three things today.
Okay, Gemara Chassima Tova, everybody.
Gemara Chassima Tova, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Good night. Mr. and Ms. Glatter, how are you?
Hello, Gemara Chassima Tova.
Gemara, how was your Yom Tov? How was Yom Tov by you?
Very good.
I'll tell you a good story.
I'm listening.
Two men were talking after the show, and one asked the other one, how's the davening go?
Yeah.
He said, let's know a year from now.
All right. Where were you for Yom Kippur? You were home?
Yeah.
We're home, but we stayed by my son on 29th Street.
Okay, very nice.
Yeah. Were you home?
Yeah, I'm home. Also, yeah, I was home.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. You should be well. And
amen. A good.